Ephesians chapter 6. I think about 10 years ago in the evening we did this part of this study, and I don't apologize because this really is a workshop as much as a sermon. This is incredibly practical. This will change your life if you get all of this. And if you don't get all of it, your life will still be changed the wrong way. And so we just if you haven't a Bible, don't worry, I'll read to you. Just to pick up somewhere in the middle of Paul's last chapter in Ephesians, not that he wrote in chapters. Finally, my brethren, chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual force of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and having done everything to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Oh, we'll stop there. Well, we're saying it's happy day, but actually there is someone who is desperate to make sure that it's not a happy day. We're in a spiritual warfare. It's not just the leaders, it's all of us. You think, why is it like this, a Christian life? I thought it was wonderful. It was wonderful when I was converted or baptized in the Spirit. But some days it is just all hell is let loose. Some days it's difficult. Some days I sin. Some days I fall. Why is it? Well, Paul says this. We're in a battle. We're born on the battlefield. All of you. All of you. Not just the leaders. And we never leave the battlefield. There's no conscientious objectors, you know. And the bullets and the shells are flying, and it's difficult. Now, there will be times when life is easy and wonderful and all the rest of it, but we're always in the battle. Never forget that. Paul says that, even after he's sent five chapters of incredible glory, he says this. And we've just looked at previous weeks about what we have to. We have to be strong in the Lord. We've talked about that. Know who we are in Christ. We have to be filled with the Spirit, baptized in the Spirit. But that's not enough. You have to put on the full armor of God. It's not just common sense. It's not you're of a strong will or you're a powerful personality. All of you have to put on the full armor that God supplies. It's not, you know, how clever you are. It's you have to take the armor, all of it, not the bits you like, all of it. And we've looked a bit. We had to talk about the belt of truth. We put the belt of truth on. We're submitted to living by the Bible, the Word of God. We put it on every day. We're submitted to live by it, its truth. We put on the breastplate of righteousness to protect against our feelings and our emotions. Our only standing before God is not our goodness or our spirituality, but the righteousness of Christ. And we put on our feet the sandals that equip us to be mobile, to be firm, to be strong, because we know the gospel of peace, because we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you've got to wear those three bits of the armor all the time. But then the battle starts, and he says, right, in addition, now the arrows are flying, the bullets are flying, you know, the bombs are dropping. Now, let's keep it to the arrow bits. In addition to this, take the shield. Now, this is a huge shield. There are two kinds of shields in the Roman armor. There's a small round one, but this is the big one, the Thorian. It's the word that's used for shield is the word that's used for door. It's about 4'6" by 2'6" in old money. What's it in? I don't know, in new money, in meters. But anyway, it's huge. It covers the whole person. It's beveled at the edges. so you can link with other soldiers, so you can go out together, linked. But it's a huge thing. It covers the whole of you. It's a double protection. You've got the breastplate on to cover your emotions, your feelings, but you still need this big shield to protect you. Take it. And now, what's he on about? Well, the problem is, and he says, look what he says, we're attacked by the evil one, the devil. Now, we've said before, you won't get the devil himself, but you will get one of his minions. One of the evil spirits will come. They will attack you. Unseen, powerful spirits. And we have to believe in that whole realm of spirits. I know it's contrary to our modern culture, but we as believers know there is a whole dimension of spirituality, of a world of spirits, the Holy Spirit and these spirits. And the sooner you get all of that, Paul says, the better. Because that's what it's all about. You won't understand your life until you understand this. And that's what he's on about. And you see, evil never exists on its own. There's no such thing as evil on its own. It's always in persons or spirits. Jesus didn't come against evil. There's no such thing in one sense. He came against the devil, who was an evil person. And these spirits are evil spirits. They're the third of the spirits that fell with Satan, who fell from the glory, a third of the spirits fell, according to Revelation. And these spirits are set against you because they hate you, because you stand for God and for Jesus. Sorry about that. That's it. The sooner you get that into your minds, the better. We're in a battle. But we're going to win it, right? Yeah. Right, okay. We're not going to go down the chute too early. We're going to win this battle. That's why Paul says this. And but see, Jesus wasn't tempted by evil, as I say. He says that, you know, the whole world, John says, the whole world lies in the control of the evil one. That's why the world is as it is. That's why we need to pray for our land. Better not go down that one this morning. But anyway, you know, now what he talks about here, let's just stick to one thing this morning. These flaming arrows, or if you've got the authorized version, the fiery darts. He comes and what are these fiery? They are thoughts. He puts thoughts into your mind, either directly, just come in, or through a speech or some word that's spoken, or else through watching something or reading something. A thought comes, they're like flaming arrows that come. They're flaming, you know, they're like the arrows in the ancient days and many cultures. You remember the Indians of the West, in the prairies in America, and certainly in ancient world, the Mediterranean, they would put on the arrows, they'd put some tow, some cotton, and they would dip it in tar or pitch, and then when they wanted to attack, they would light it, and then shoom, it would go into a thatched roof or into a covered wagon or even to you if you're in the way. And it would land and it would splatter, and the flaming bits of tar would ignite everything. And Paul, it's only an illustration. This is only an illustration. But that's what he's trying to get across. These thoughts come into your mind, right? If you ever get a chance, read Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. Get a modern translation, edition. It is a masterpiece. Now, the point is this. Let me just read a bit from him. I know it's in Old English, but bear with me. He says, one thing, says Bunyan, I would not let slip. I took notice that now, this is Pilgrim talking, that poor Christian was so confused that he did not know his own voice. And thus I perceived it. Just when he was come over against the mouth of the burning pit, one of the wicked ones, the spirits, got behind him and stepped up softly to him and whispering suggested many grievous blasphemies to him, which he verily thought had proceeded from his own mind. That is incredibly, that's great Christian psychology there. You think these thoughts originate with you. Now I know there's enough evil in all of us, we're all sinful, we're all sinners. But actually these thoughts original outside you, right? If you can get hold of that, that will change your life. Seriously, these thoughts don't originate with you. I'll explain, I'll unpack that a bit. You know, they come. These are real thoughts, but you have to see their origin, right? You meet somebody in the street, and they say something, and they get you down, and then you start feeling envious or jealous, and you're in a real state, and because the devil just took the words of that person, and he just stirred them up in your mind, and I was talking to somebody yesterday, and they just were in tears, because they'd met somebody, and they'd said something, and they felt envious or jealous, and they were in this terrible state. I thought, goodness me, that devil just done that. The guy who was speaking had no idea. He was talking about good things. But the devil used it to stir such pain and anguish in this other person. Now, that's how he works. He comes, and you think that it originates in yourself. You see? We're not fighting just abstract evil. We're not fighting just against philosophy. These thoughts come as seducing, temptations. They come as thoughts of impurity, of doubt, of pride, of fear, of disappointment, of selfishness, of greed. They just come out of the blue. And you have to... And when do they come? Well, they come anytime. Well, they come anytime. You come this morning, the pastor's leading us in praise, and you know it's great, and then suddenly a thought comes about something, or you look across and you think, very unnice thought, very ungracious thoughts about somebody, because you're reminded, where do these thoughts come from? They just come. You come to take communion, and you get the most vile thoughts, immoral thoughts. Where did they come from? You see somebody at work, and you've no problem, but then something comes into your mind. Now, all I'm saying is, these thoughts come from outside you. You have to see this. This is what he's saying. They come as flaming arrows. That's the burden of my song, and that's what we're going to unpack. And they come. They come at any time when you pray and worship, and you start praying. You're going to pray for the church or whatever, and then thoughts come about this, that, and the other. Not all as evil as others, we know that. And they always hide their sources. You know? And these thoughts come, and then you think, oh, I must be a very evil person to think that. Well, we're not doubting your sinfulness, but actually, the thought didn't start with you, right? Still with it, right? You see, these thoughts come. They're characterized by their swiftness, like an arrow. They're out of the blue. Your mind is blank, and then, zoom, they come. The next minute, you're full of doubt, and your sense of failure and hopelessness. You were doing fine, but then suddenly you met somebody and you felt a total failure. Where did that come from? They just come like flaming arrows. And they're unexpected. You're praying, you're reading your Bible, you're in church, and they come and they can burn for days. Why am I such a jealous, envious, all the rest of it? Well, you may well be. Who started that? It's like the devil said, you see that problem over there? I started that. And it's a bit like that, isn't it? And we have to know that. And they're coming unexpected, Well, you don't believe in the existence of God, or the whole business of the gospel, and suddenly a doubt is shared. You read a book, or something is sown. This is not just bland stuff. This is not amoral. This is immoral stuff. And you question the whole work of the years. And I've met people in the street who came here, and not just here, but the churches I've been part of. And they said, well, it was just a phase I went through. Where did all that come from? They were fine, they were zealous. But a thought was sown, and they dwelt on it. And it burnt. Now, here's Job. I have time to go in there. But Job, one of the greatest men in the Old Testament. And he loses his children. He loses his livestock. He loses his health. He's on the ash heap. He's covered in boils and sores. And then his so-called four friends, so-called, come. And he says to them, the arrows of the Almighty are striking in me. Well, we know for a fact they weren't the arrows of the Almighty. The devil had come. They weren't there. That was the problem. They weren't from God. The devil was actually, he'd started all this. They were the flaming arrows of Satan. And of course, his friends helped to unload their arrows into him. They were used by Satan. But we're often taken in because he's a liar. These thoughts, he's a liar and the father of lies, you see. And you see, the devil will tell you true things, but he will never tell you the truth. He will tell you you're a sinner, are you? But he will never tell you there is a Savior. He tells you true things, which and you agree with. But he doesn't tell you the truth of the gospel. But that's another story, you see. But he comes and these thoughts burn. And not only that, you have to do it. You have to do it immediately. Must do it. There's a sort of, you know, I've got to do it. I remember years ago, I went to a church in the north of England. And neither Christy and I wanted to do it. But we felt, and there was, I thought, we've got to do it. And we didn't want to do it. We didn't feel good. But there was this thought came, you have to do it. You have to do it. And my wife, no, she didn't want to do it. I thought, well, it's terrible. It must be the will of God. No, it was, you know. But you often feel that, don't you? Fortunately, I went to a friend who, because you need senior friends who can tell you the truth, you know. John says, test every spirit to see whether they be of God. I can think of people who've sold their house. What do you, well, we had to do it. We just felt we had to do it. No, you know, they're upped and gone. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't go, but you've got to have counsel of wiser women and men. They just do it. Oh, I had to do it. Whoa, slow down. Slow down, you know. I mean, James says, and I find this very helpful. He says, the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of, submissive, you notice? Full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. You see, that's it. You have to be submissive. Well, I've heard from God that this must be God. No, you submit to wiser women and men. You submit. Be patient. Slow down. Don't sell your house. Don't get married to that person. In one sense, you know, people do stupid things. Well, I had to do it. And the devil says, great. It may be the will of God, but John says, test every spirit. Test every spirit. Many Christians, their lives are in a mess by obeying these strange thoughts. You know, they have this sudden passion, this sudden desire. There's something, you know, they've got to do. And they regret it all their lives. I've counseled many people who've said that. Why did we ever do it? You know? Well, anyway, let's go on. You're going to face these thoughts all your life. Sometimes there's a lull in the battle. Sometimes life is wonderful and, yeah, I don't know what you're talking about, you say. Well, I have to tell you, you will have a battle because we're in it. And there's no exceptions, I'm sorry. I wish there were. The devil is no gentleman. He goes for nice, sweet ladies as well, you know. And the greatest saints throughout the centuries have been plagued by them. These blasphemous thoughts about God, these filthy, vile thoughts you have in church. Where did that come from? You know? You're having, and, you know, hateful thoughts against people. Oh, I can't stand. Where did that come from? And then, of course, if you dwell on it, it'll grow. You know? Suicidal. Have you? I bet I could, if I had time, I could. How many of you have been tempted to end your life? You know? Jumping from, I mean, you think, where did that, jump in front of the train, crash the car, do it. I mean, it's weird, isn't it? And I talk to many people, say, yeah, I've had thoughts like, where did that thought come from? It comes from the enemy. Jesus comes to bring life, Satan comes to take life. Slow down. I mean, you know, you're not ungodly because it happens, you're in a battle. Paul Peter says, don't be surprised at the painful trial, as if some strange thing were happening to you. It's going to happen to all of us. You know? See, you know, some of us are very fearful. That's it. He just presses that button and he's away. And, you know, the enemies are going to kill us and all that rest of it. And, you know, we have to face persecution. And what must we do? Well, let's get positive. Paul says, you take the shield of faith. Now, what does he mean? Remember in a battle, what is faith? It's nothing nebulous and vague. You know, Oliver Wendell Holmes says, faith is something that makes life worth living? Well, it's nothing that, you know, it's, as the little lad said to his mother, I think we're going to lose this football game today. She says, be positive. He says, I'm positive we're going to lose this football game today. Well, you know, we can be like that. Or else, you know, Maria von Trapp, I have confidence in confidence itself. I have confidence in me. Rubbish. Well, you can, it's not rubbish. Well, it is rubbish, isn't it? I wish I was confident like that. I didn't get that gene at all. Some people are like that, but that's not what faith is. Faith doesn't look in on itself. Faith always looks to the objects, the shield of faith, right? I remember reading one great missionary, John Patton Peyton. He went to the New Hebrides in the South Pacific, and he was translating the Bible, and he couldn't find a word for faith. Couldn't find a word that fitted. Anyway, the lad comes off the village, one of the native lads comes in, and he plonks down in the chair, and he says, it's so good to put my whole weight in this chair. What do you say? He says, that's it. I put the whole weight. That's what faith is. You put your whole weight in God and his word. He had his word for his translation. And that's what it's about. We believe that God exists. And he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We look to him. It's faith. You see, Satan comes to us as lies, as we say, speaks directly or through men or through other things. And we could go through the Bible. He comes to Eve. He always comes with lies. Did God really say you should not eat from the tree of good and evil, knowledge of good and evil? You shall become like God. That's a problem. It's a lie. And because she fell, and with the consequences we experience today. But then our Lord himself, Jesus, in the wilderness. I go over this many times in Matthew 4. It's wonderful stuff. The devil comes to him. Comes to him when he's tired, when he's exhausted after 40 days. He must be like a skeleton, really, after not eating for 40 days. He's at the end of his... That's how he comes to us when we're tired and we're at the end of the day. And he comes to him. And he says, your heavenly father's looking after you. Turn these stones into bread. If your father's looking after you, if your heavenly father, if you're the son of God, God's abandoned you. You can't trust him. No, he says, it's written. You know, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Well, that fails. So he comes again and he says... Didn't God say you're going to be the Messiah? Didn't hear somewhere on the line sentences, whispers, and all the kingdoms of the world? Look, I tell you what, if you want to be Messiah, just jump off the temple. Come on, and all the people will follow you. That'll be a real Messiah. No. He looks to the Word. Jesus always goes back to the Word. He lives in the Book of Deuteronomy. He says, No. You shall not put God to the test. That's what God says. He looks to the Word. He raises a shield of faith. Satan tries again. Well, he says, look, all these kingdoms I will give to you. I don't know whether the way he's to give, but he tries that line. He says, just bow down before me and worship me, and all these kings of the world and all their splendor will be yours. And he said, you won't have to go through a cross, no problems. No. And he says, no, he says, you know. He said, it's written, you know, you've got to worship God, him and alone. I'm not going to bow down to you. Now, all I'm saying, that's the way. The lies come. They will come, the lies. And you have to turn to the Word all the time. It's true of faith. Faith never points to itself. There's a lot of Christian stuff. It's all, well, have I got faith, you know? Have I got assurance? No. You don't look to yourself. You look away to the Word, to God. If you look in yourself, you'll go down the pan. You don't do that. You know? Don't say, well, every day and every way I'm getting better and better. Well, I wish you were. I wish I'm not. No, you don't do that. You look to God. Faith, mighty faith, says Wesley. The promise sees and looks to that alone. Looks at impossibilities and cries, it shall be done. That's what Wesley says. He's got it. No. He comes to Abraham. God says you're going to be the father of multitude. Great, really? And then Satan whispers, will a son be born to Abraham at 100 years old and to his wife who's 90? A thought comes to him. But he believed God. You see? And against all hope, Abraham believed and so became the father of many nations. It is ridiculous to have a child at 100. Eh? Goodness me, 100. His wife's 90. It's impossible. It is impossible. But God said it. That settles it. Right? I don't understand it. It's right through the Bible. It goes through this. You know, read that wonderful chapter, Hebrews 11, about all the saints. You know, and they went through terrible times, but whose faith was turned to, whose weakness was turned to strength. You know, so flaming arrow comes. You say, "Well, God's not interested in me." You know, no, faith looks to His promises. You look to the Word. You know, it's nothing to do with feelings. You look to God, to His character. He never changes. He's always true and faithful. He's the Father of heavenly lights and doesn't change with like shifting shadows, says James. But the devil comes. He comes with lies. Lies. You'll get it this week. I'm sorry. He comes different ways. You know? I know that sex is only for marriage, but you can be happy outside having sex outside. It's a lie, my friends. Well, you know, he's not a Christian, but I think I can marry him. I know the Bible says, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. It's a lie. It's a lie. You don't believe it. Pornography, they say, well, it's fun. It doesn't, you know, it's fun. We should enjoy it. It's a lie. It corrupts. It's a lie. What, you can watch that movie. It's R-rated. You know, you're adult. You're over 21. It won't do. It's a lie. It will harm you. It's a lie. All I'm saying, I could go on all morning. It comes with lies, fiery darts, flaming darts. And we have to stand. You know, we have to stand. It's a lie. You know, you can cheat on your tax returns. Nobody will know. Well, they probably won't. But you will become a thief. I have many things. Don't speak, please. I don't want to be a thief. I have a good accountant. I have a Christian accountant. But see, it's a lie. You cannot break the will of God with impunity. It's a lie. And you have to raise the faith, the shield of faith. You know, God says, I will look after you. Some of you this morning, some of you students, how are you going to manage? All of us, how are we going to manage? You know? How are you going to manage? I'm your father. I'm your shepherd. I'm going to look after you. Which of you who asks for bread, says Jesus, will his father give him a stone? You know? Just trust me. Some of you in midlife, it's even harder financially, isn't it? And Jesus says, look, if you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more? Just have a morning dwelling on that one word. It's a one word in the Greek. How much more shall your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask? You know, let me just give a testimony. We left the north of England in 40 odd years ago. We got rid of our house and everything. God called us to come and study in London, the deep south. And my friends were really, my father has been dead a long while. He's one of his friends said, what a waste of a life to go and study the Bible. My in-laws were absolutely, not very pleased. And they said they didn't want their grandchildren living in second-hand clothes and all that business. All I can say is this, it's 40 odd years on, 97 we came south. We can testify that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. I mean, I sometimes think that if you don't believe the Bible, look at my house. How did we ever get this thing? I don't know. I do know, because God cannot fail. And I don't know what you're going through. All I'm saying is raise the shield of faith. Because you'll be full of lies will come. You'll never make it. You won't do it. You won't succeed. You're a failure. You're hopeless. Raise the shield of faith and open the word of God, right? That's what you have to do. And it's important. It's so important. We have to do it. And it's not, Christy can't do it for you. And all the other godly people in this room can't do it. You have to do it, right? You have to do it yourself. And God said, I will never leave you or forsake you, right? I mean, David says, King David, he was a real rogue, wasn't he? But he did realize, he says, for God is a sun and a shield. Right? And the devil, you see, the trouble is the devil has a better memory than you. And he says, you can come on this, but what about that abortion you had? What about that affair you had? What about that deal you did at work? You got away with it, didn't you? You thought you did. You know, and all the stuff. But what do? You say, well, you raise the shield of faith. And the word of God. God forgave me. And he forgave us all our sins, having canceled the debt, the written code that was against us. He took it and nailed it to the cross. Somebody, he'll come and, do you remember what he did? Yeah, but I confess my sins. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us all our sins. So off you go. Off you go. But he comes. He comes. He reminds you. But we have to remind him of what these wonderful songs we sing. We don't sing them because of a melody. We sing them because of their truth. We remind ourselves of what Jesus has done for us. We do that. And what he's doing for us. One of my great heroes is a man you wouldn't know him. A little man called Billy Bray in the 19th century. He was a little miner in Cornwall. He was one of the Bible Christians, a little denomination in Cornwall. And he was a really quaint fella. And he described how he resisted the devil with the shield of faith. The devil, he says, it's really quaint this. The devil knows where I live, was one of his common sayings in answer to people who knew little of the trial and the temptations. He was tempted, so he said, he was tempted to do many bad things and sometimes to end his life by throwing himself down the shaft of a mine. He was a miner. I guess it was a lead mine in those days. And he was a fine Christian worker. He built literally many, physically, chapels in Cornwall. But at times he was so depressed that he was tempted to commit suicide. But he told the devil, the tempter, he called him old smutty face. And to do this himself and see how he would like it. That's to throw himself down. Later in the book, he gives another account of the devil's fiery attack. He said, friends, last week I was digging up my potatoes for those who are not educated like us. It was a wish poor yield, sure enough. There was hardly a sound one in the whole lot. And while I was digging, the devil came to me and says, Billy, do you think your father do love you? I should reckon he do, I says. Well, I don't, says the old tempter in a minute. If I'd thought about it, I shouldn't have listened to him, for his opinions weren't the least worth of any of the notice. I don't, he says, and I tell you for what. If your father loved you, Billy Bray, he'd give you a pretty yield of taters. Pray, sir, says I. Who may you happen to be coming to me talking like this here? And Billy went on to say, he said, when he served the devil, he got some pretty miserable service. And that now with Jesus, he's given me a clean heart and a soul full of joy and a lovely suit of white and that'll never wear out. And he says that he'll make a king of me afore he's done with me. And you come to me talking to me like that. He says, bless my He says, bless you, my dear friends. He went off in a minute, he says. Well, that's it. We have to tell him. Now, very quickly, let me very practical. How do you do it? Quickly. First of all, we let the Word of God dwell in us. You've got to get the Bible into you. It's no good. This, a Sunday morning sermon is not enough. You have to be in the Word. You have to memorize it. Not just, I've done my dilly bit, tick. You can let the Word of God dwell richly in you. You can't live off other, the pastor, the elders, the leaders' experience. You have to get the Word of God in you, right? And you've got to put your whole weight on the Word. You've got to put the, you know, gird yourself with a belt of truth. You've got to refuse these thoughts. Refuse these thoughts. So they'll come to you. Today, this, well, this week, they'll come to you. I was in London. There was a traffic. There's always robots, not robots, holes in the ground, aren't there? Or some traffic missile. This female policeman stops the traffic. These huge trucks, just a young lady, just raises her hand and these things come to a halt, a grinding halt. Boom. And they have to wait, and then she's... Now, my friends, you raise the blood-stained hand of Christ and said, be gone in Jesus' name. And I don't want to listen. I go, sometimes I've had to go in the country and say, be gone, be gone. Because you've got to make the devil, these spirits have got to make sure you mean business. You raise the shield of faith, and the arrows come, boom, against it. Boom, boom, boom. Right? I'm sorry, I wish it wasn't this way. This isn't a fairy tale. This is true, my friends. For 50 years, I've proved this. And we have to do it. And you have to learn to praise God, right? It's not magic. A lot of charismatic stuff can be marginally magical if you don't watch it, you know. You know, a voice says, oh, you're slipping, you'll not be able to make it. Praise the name of Jesus, you know. He's my rock, he's my fortress. In him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus. The tragic thing is, we learn so many new choruses, we forget them. You need a few in your head that you can just sing and sing on your own, right? I go around preaching. I have half a dozen new choruses. Just to, oh, not another half a dozen. Just my tiny brain doesn't cope with them. Just a few hymns, actually. Just sing them, sing them. Praise the name of Jesus, sing them. The devil doesn't like that stuff, you know? And you've got to use your mind. It's not magic. It's not a mantra. You sing the truth. And you stick together, my friends. I am here today because of Christian friends. These soldiers, when they went, they locked shields and they went forward like a wall. I am here today because of my Christian friends who stuck with me. You need, in this battle, we need each other. Not just on Sundays. That's wonderful. I love it here. But we need each other, right? Right? And we need to stick together. And we have to raise our shield all the time. Paul says, be joyful always. Pray constantly. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you. Raise the shield at all times. Keep looking. Look at the Word. You know, and... I have a friend who's just dying at the moment, one of the ladies in our church, and we're visiting her. She's just a lovely Christian. But we're going to come to die. I want people to remind me of the Word of God when I'm come to die. I want to die in faith, right? I want to die in faith. Let me go back to my friend Billy Bray. He's right at the end of his life. And he goes down the stairs for the last time. And his friends asked him if he had any fear of death. He says, what? Me, fear of death? Me, lost? Why? My Savior conquered death. If I were to go down, you know, to hell, I would shout, glory, glory to my blessed Jesus until I made the bottomless pit sing again. And the miserable old devil would say, Billy, Billy, this is no place for thee. Get back up there. Get back up to heaven. And I would go up shouting, glory, glory, praise the Lord. Well, it's quaint. That's it. We used to sing a song, a hymn. When evil thoughts molest, with this I shield my breast. May Jesus Christ be praised. Do you know that? And morning gilds the sky. We have to do it. Above all, take the shield of faith with which you can resist, can protect, be protected against the flaming arrows of the evil one. Amen? Amen. Do it.
Thank you, Stuart. Shall we stand together? A song that comes from my mind is, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. As we reflect upon what we heard, it's so easy for us to just to hear and just go.